Chapter 4. Going out in space in an evac suit was not something I did before I hacked my governor module. One reason was because there's always a distance limit on a contract. So if you, being a sec unit, go more than, say, 100 meters from your clients, your hub system uses the governor module to flash fry your brain and neural system. That doesn't mean a client won't order you to do something that would cause you to violate your distance limit. It just means they'll have to pay the company a penalty for destroying their property. But the evac suits I'd used since then had such good instruction modules that it was almost like having an onboard bot pilot. This one was no exception, plus being new enough to not smell like dirty socks. Right, I should probably mention that I find 99.9% of human parts physically disgusting. I'm also less than thrilled with my own human parts. I came out of the airlock first, towing Amina behind me, and pulled us along the facility's hull. One of the first things I discovered about space was that it was boring when there were no pretty planets or stations or anything to look at. This space was empty of planets, but not boring. The evac suit had scan and imaging capabilities, but I didn't need it as something huge moved out from below us. I designated that direction as down because it was toward where my feet were currently pointed. It was the base ship, falling slowly away. The hostile was above us, clamped to the facility, a big, scary blot on the suit's scan. I tapped the base ship's feed, and without the interference from the dying facility, they heard me. Roa said hurriedly, "We've got you on visual. I'm sending coordinates, and Mihail will pull you in with the tractor." I downloaded the projected path, then said, "Where is Oversay? She reported that she was in the facility safe pod with other survey team members." Roa said, "Copy that. We're contacting them now." Contacting them now? If the safe pod had launched, it should be on the base ship by now. But I couldn't do anything about it. I had to get Amina to the base ship first. Amina said, "What does that mean? Is Oversay and everyone okay?" I was about to trigger the suit's maneuvering system when scan picked up an energy surge. My suit's imaging went down and the helmet plate went dark, protecting my eyes against a flash. I didn't need the protection, but the evac suit didn't know that. Amina made a startled noise. Static blotted out the feed connection, then Mihail said, "That was a miss. Repeat, attacker fired and missed." Rajpreet's fainter voice said, "Are they aiming at the safe pod?" The rest was lost in static. I ordered my suit to clear the visor and swung around so I could see the hostile. I don't know why. My suit wasn't armed. I just wanted to see what was after us as something other than a sensor blot. It was almost as dumb an impulse as some things I've seen humans do. I saw a big, dark hull, reflecting light from preservation's distant primary. There was still nothing coming from it. No feed, no comm, no beacons. So it was like a giant, inert object. A giant, inert object dragging us toward the wormhole. The evac imaging system came back online to add in sensor data and give me a more accurate outline, making the hostile show up as part dark shape, part schematic. It was odd, since the configuration looked just like the evac scans found a registry designation embossed on the ship's hull and rendered it for me. And I recognized it. I didn't even have to search my archive. I recognized it from a transport embarkation schedule on the station I had gone to after leaving Port Free Commerce. That's art, I almost said on the feed like an idiot. It was so shocking and so weird, my performance reliability dropped and I lost circulation to my organic parts. And not weird equals violating norms in an annoying way, but weird equals eerie, like in Farland Star Roads, the story arc with the haunted station, with ghosts and time shifting. Or weird like I was having memory failure again, mixing up archival memory with current data collection. That was a terrifying thought.
That's what?
Amina asked. Then the ship, the hostile, Art, fired again. The evac suit tracked it this time as a spark across my scanner. It went wide, so wide I thought it must be aimed at the station responder, but it was so far away, what would be the point? I pulled the data the suit had collected about the first shot and saw it had gone wide too. On our feed, Roa said, "It's another miss, no damage." Mihail said, "The vector was way off. I don't even think... Maybe a warning shot." Maybe I wasn't having memory failure. I said, "Base ship, are you still ready to catch us?" Roa said, "Mihail, are you..." Then, "Yes, yes, Sec Unit, go, we're ready." The trajectory Mihail had sent was still good. We just had a little longer to go. With Amina's suit in tandem with mine, I launched us off the facility's hull. 20 seconds later, something grabbed my suit and tugged it. It was fairly gentle and wouldn't have seemed like a disaster at all except for my suit's emergency alarms and Mihail cursing frantically on the base ship feed. The ship, the hostile, Art, had us in a tractor and pulled us toward its hull. I was facing the wrong way and my suit gave me a sensor view. It was bringing us toward a large lock in the port hull, not that I could do anything about it. I saw Art's lab module was in place, which meant it wasn't acting as a cargo transport, but as a research vessel. Her voice high with distress, Amina said,
"They've got the facility. Why do they want us?"
I said, "I don't know. I don't know anything." As the tractor pulled us into the large airlock, Roa's voice yelled over the feed, "It's accelerating toward the wormhole! We're losing it!" as the hatch slid shut. The base ship feed dropped. I made an attempt to reconnect, but hit a wall as solid as... I don't know, but it was solid. I hadn't been in this lock before, but it still had the clean, well-kept ship look that matched my memories. If I could trust my memories. If this was real. I really needed to run a diagnostic, but there was no time. The lock cycled, air whooshing in, and the hatch slid open. It sure looked real, and my evac suit scan matched what I was seeing, scanning. No feed, no comm activity. The wide corridor beyond the lock was empty, lights tuned to medium strength, blue bands on the bulkhead serving no function except decorative. A transparent locker built into the bulkhead held a row of empty evac suits, dormant and ready for emergencies. The corridor was quiet, empty on visual, scan, and audio. The lights brightened for us, which was typical for crewed ships, which adjust the lighting based on what the humans are doing and on request. My suit read the air system level as full, which meant normal for humans and augmented humans. When Art ran as an uncrewed cargo transport, it kept its support level on minimum, though it had upped it for me. There were too many ways to kill us using the airlock, so I stepped over the seal into the corridor. I pulled Amina's suit with me to make sure there was no opportunity to separate us. The lock cycled closed behind us. On our suit comm, Amina was saying,
"Where are the crew? Why did they do this? What do they want with us?"
Then, in a smaller voice,
"Please talk to me."
I still had a client, even if I was damaged and hallucinating. If this was a memory failure, I had to tell her. I wished she was Mensa, or any human I trusted to help me. Even Garothin would have been better in this situation. If I told her that indication suggested that I was having some bizarre memory crash, she would never trust me, and I needed her to trust me to get her out of this alive. Except, could she trust me when I couldn't even tell if what I was seeing, scanning, was real or not? And if this was really Art, then where the hell was it? I sent a ping. It was almost like it echoed in the empty feed, like the giant presence that should be here was just absent, like the heart of the ship was hollow. Amina was breathing harder with building panic, and I needed to say something. What came out was pretty close to the truth. I think I recognize this ship, but it's not supposed to be here. Saying it aloud made it seem a lot less like a memory failure, and more like something that was actually happening. Amina made a sniffing noise. She said, "What? What ship is it?" Then I had a brilliant idea that I should have had earlier. I said, "What do the patches on those evac suits say?" Mensa and most of the others would have realized immediately that something was wrong. I never asked clients for information if I could help it. For a lot of reasons, but close to the top was the all-too-common suicidal lack of attention to detail humans were prone to. Amina stepped closer to the transparent locker. There were two rows of suits visible, one above the other. So if a suit was removed from its slot, another would slide down to replace it. The patches were throwing a localized broadcast into the feed in multiple languages, readable by interfaces and our evac suits, even while Art's feed was inaccessible, the same way marker paints worked. Amina said aloud, "Perihelion. Pan System University of Mihira and New Tideland." That was Art's designation and registry. Okay, so? Good news. I'm not having some kind of memory or system crash. This was really Art. Bad news? What the fuck? I sent another ping. Amina turned back to me.
"This must be a stolen survey ship."
Her voice was firmer, less breathy with incipient panic.
"I guess the raiders armed it."
It was already armed. I thought, it's my friend. It helped me because it wanted to, because it could. I couldn't say any of that. I hadn't told anyone about Art. It's a deep space research and teaching vessel with a full crew and passenger complement. Between missions, it travels as a bot-piloted cargo vessel, but preservation isn't on its route.
"Research and teaching vessel?"
Amina repeated.
"If the raiders had a ship this big, with weapons, why bother with us? Maybe they thought we had something valuable on board? Or they just go around attacking research ships? They hate research?"
She was being sarcastic, but I knew of raiders who had done things like this for reasons almost as stupid. But this wasn't a memory ghost hallucination, which meant it was still a statistically unlikely coincidence, and that was statistically unlikely.
"Wait, you know this ship?"
Her voice turned suspicious. The statistically unlikely part must have occurred to her, too.
"Did you do something to them? Are they here after you?"
Of course not. That was a total lie, because Art had to have come here after me, though knowing that didn't make this any less baffling. It wasn't like Art's crew came here for revenge because the murderous rogue sec unit. Hold it. Could they be here for revenge? I hadn't hurt Art or anything on board, unless you counted some power and resource usage that Art had expunged from its logs. That seemed a weird thing to shoot up an unarmed survey ship over. I mean, they could have just sent Dr. Mensa an invoice. Unless somebody had managed to get aboard after I left and do something to Art and blamed me for it. One big problem with that scenario. No, wait. Two. One, getting aboard without Art's cooperation, and two, doing something to Art without getting violently murdered. I knew of 47 ways that Art could kill a human, augmented human, or bot intruder, and the only reason I didn't know more is because I got bored and stopped counting. And where the hell was Art? Where was its feed, its drones, its comm, its humans? Why wouldn't it answer my pings? I didn't forget that I had one of Art's comms tucked into the pocket under my ribs. Okay, I did forget, until 3 minutes and 47 seconds ago, but it wasn't like I'd needed to access the information until now. The comm had been deactivated and inert since I left Art on Ravi Hyrule's transit ring. If Art wanted to call me, it could have used it as soon as we were in range. But that was assuming that Art was still in control of itself. Was something else, bot or human or augmented human, controlling Art's ship body? I was starting to panic. I didn't want Art to be hurt, and anything that could hurt Art could destroy me and Amina. This wasn't helping. Start with the assumption that Art was still here, intact, but under some sort of constraint I didn't have time to speculate about, but would anyway. Had Art been able to use the deactivated comm to track me after our survey ship arrived through the wormhole? Yes, probably. But why? Why come to preservation space after me? Art loved its crew, like, a lot. It would do anything to help them. Including betray me? Was something forcing Art to do this? Did it want the facility, or was that collateral damage? As soon as it had me and Amina in its tractor, it had increased acceleration toward the wormhole. We had to be in the wormhole by now, heading away from preservation. The responders wouldn't be able to track us. At least that meant that Oversay and whoever was with her in the safe pod could be picked up by the base ship. I needed to get rid of my evac suit. In gravity, they made movement cumbersome and could be hacked if I wasn't careful, and I wasn't sure how much protection the suit would give Amina from projectiles or other weapon fire. It wasn't like it would be a good idea to go outside now, and freedom of movement was more important. I got the evac suit to open its helmet and released my drones. I told two to take up guard positions at the entrance to the corridor and sent the others to make a cautious sweep through the ship. Through Art. Then I opened my suit and stepped out. Amina said, "Is that a good idea?" I really didn't need to be second-guessed by an adolescent human right now. "Do you have any other suggestions?"
"I guess we can't stay in these things forever,"
she muttered, and opened her suit. I waited for her to climb out. She was shaking a little, and sweating, and favoring her injured leg. I needed to get access to the medical suite. Whatever was going on here, it would be easier to deal with if Amina wasn't hurt. I moved toward the corridor, gesturing Amina to stay behind me. My scan still picked up nothing but background interference from Art's systems. My drones were seeing empty corridors, closed hatches. I directed them toward the control deck, specifically the crew meeting area under the bridge. Somebody had to be here, bot or human or augmented human. This time, I pinged the comm system. The ship's comm chimed, an automatic response. Amina flinched at the sound. Keeping my voice low, I told her, "That was me."
"Why?"
She managed to whisper this in a way that sounded very demanding. Then she grimaced in frustration.
"Right. I guess they know we're here since they kidnapped us."
So far, my drones hadn't detected any crew. There was no response to the comm, and I moved toward the corridor. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. Maybe go up to Art's bridge and bang on the shield over its control core? This was one of the corridors I had walked up and down, working on my pretending to be a human code, where Art had critiqued my performance. Maybe that made me less cautious. That and the fact that my drones had just passed through here seconds ago. As I stepped into the corridor, something moved in my peripheral vision. This is why we have drones. Unfortunately, whatever this was, my guard drone hadn't registered its presence. I didn't see it until it moved, and that was too late. I took the hit right in the side of my head and got body slammed against the bulkhead. Performance reliability, catastrophic drop, shut down, restart. I was lying in a heap on the deck, a broken fragment of something grinding into my cheek. I knew I'd had an emergency shutdown. I miss my armor all the time, but particularly at times like this. I need the organic parts inside my head, but they have much better shock absorption in there than inside a human skull. You can hit a sec unit hard enough to make our performance reliability drop so fast and so low, it triggers a temporary shutdown. Operative word, temporary. But it's really not a good idea. Not if you want to keep your internal organs inside your body and not smeared on the bulkheads of your stolen transport. Oh, it's on now. My drones had gone dormant, and my systems weren't online to access them yet. My audio kicked back in, and I picked up sound coming from down the corridor. A voice, Amina's voice, too low for me to make out the words. I tapped the input for my drone relay feed. It was a passive connection and still transmitting. Amina's voice was hard with what was clearly false bravado.
You've made a big mistake. There are armed ships minutes away. They'll be here. Oh, little child, we're in the bridge transit. No one will ever find you again.
The voice, unidentified one, was light, arch, with an echo caused by an out-of-date pre-feed translator system.
Now, tell us about the weapon.
Amina's bravado was turning into real anger.
Our survey facility wasn't armed. If it was, you'd be blown to pieces.
Note to humans and augmented humans, no one likes being patronized. Unidentified one sounded even more amused.
You had better have the weapon we were told of, or I'll take your ribs out one by one and break them in front of your little face.
I saved that for future reference. Unidentified one seemed to have gone to some trouble with the wording of that threat. It would be a shame if they never experienced it firsthand. Another voice, unidentified two, said,
I hate lying. All these things lie.
It sounded almost identical to Unidentified One, except it was slightly deeper in tone.
Amina said, I'm not lying. I don't know what you're talking about.
A little of her fear leaked through. I think she was beginning to realize she wasn't talking to an intelligence that was open to rational argument. Unidentified One said,
You lie. It lies. Everything's lying. Don't think we don't know better.
Tinged with desperation, Amina said,
I can't do anything about that.
The rest of my parts were checking in as functional, and my performance reliability was climbing. The temporary shutdown had flushed a lot of stress toxins secreted by my organic parts, and I actually felt better. Scan showed the fragments under my cheek were from components shielded by a case that read as stealth material. I'd been hit by a drone, maybe the same type I'd caught an image of in the facility before evacing. It had hit me so hard it had knocked itself to pieces. None of Art's drones, at least the ones it had let me see, had stealth construction. And maybe the forced restart had definitely done me some good because I was an idiot to not think of this before. If there were drones receiving orders, there had to be a feed active inside Art, just not on any of the standard channels. As my legs and feet came back online and I eased slowly upright, I tweaked my receivers to scan the whole range for activity. My projectile weapon lay on the deck in pieces, like someone had used a tool to pound it apart. My saved schematic of Art's interior layout came in handy as I mapped the direction of Amina's voice. Down this curving corridor, to a cross corridor, to a crew lounge area. I didn't make any noise. By the time I got to the first curve in the corridor, I found their drone control feed. It was on an encrypted channel, like a military feed. Clever. Except their encryption was practically ancient, in bot terms, if not human. My last update of my ex-owner Bond Company's proprietary keybreaker was 8,700 plus hours out of date, but it snapped their encryption like a twig. Their feed was almost empty. No voices that I could detect, just drone commands. If their encryption was old, their drone codes might be too. I pulled the oldest version of my drone key files and started cycling through them. My own drones were still in standby as I rebuilt my inputs and connections, but they were semi-useless at the moment since the stealth material prevented them from scanning the hostile drones. The doorway to the lounge where I detected Amina's voice was open, brighter light falling into the half-lit corridor. I meant to wait until I was back up to at least 90% performance reliability, but I heard Amina say, "There's no weapon! You got the wrong ship!" The fear in her voice was more obvious, and I was suddenly in the room. Impulse control. I should try to write a code patch for that. The compartment was large, with padded couches and seats built against the bulkheads, a few low tables that were designed to fold down into the deck, and various display surfaces, now inert, floating above them. Occupants included one client, Amina, backed up against the far wall, disheveled and wide-eyed but no apparent new damage. Two potential targets, possible casualties, both backed toward the far end of the compartment past Amina. They had visible bruises and shocked, frightened expressions. Both casualties wore red and brown uniforms, disheveled and torn, with corporate logos. Another anomaly, since Art's crew uniforms were dark blue. Two targets faced Amina and the casualties. Possibly augmented human, scan results null. Both targets turned toward me. They looked like tall, thin, augmented humans with dull gray skin. Injury? Illness? Or an uncommon skin augment, cosmetic modification. They both wore form-fitting protective suits and partial helmets that left a surprisingly stupid, amount of the face bare. Narrow human features, dark brows standing out against the smooth gray skin, both smiled with colorless lips. Accusingly, one said, "Unidentified one equals target one," to the other, "You said this one was dead." They weren't quite identical. Target one was slightly taller and had broader shoulders. "Poor thing was dead." Unidentified two equals target two responded and laughed. "Poor thing. I think a capillary just burst inside one of my organic parts." Three drones hovered behind the targets, of a model that didn't match anything in my archives. They were round, as big around as my head, the apertures for cameras or weapons hidden despite their size. The stealth material interfered with my scan, but not with the image in the organic part of my brain. It gave me an uneasy kind of double vision, where my scan insisted there were floating anomalies that wouldn't appear on my camera, yet I had a clear image in my temp data storage, supplied by my organic nerve tissue. I knew the target drones weren't slow, but they looked cumbersome. I needed intel before proceeding. I said, "What did you do to Art?" That wasn't the intel I needed, but it was the intel I wanted. Target one cocked its head inquiringly and bared sharp teeth. Another possible cosmetic modification or genetic variance. Target one said, "You're babbling, poor thing." Target two, in almost the same tone, said, "These creatures seem to have no control over their vocalizations." I was aware of Amina watching me with wide eyes, both hands pressed to her mouth. Casualties 1 and 2, still behind her, stared at me in confusion. I clarified, "This transport, what did you do to the bot pilot?" Art was so much more than a bot pilot, but I didn't have a word for what it was. Target 2 sighed and folded its arms, like I'd asked a stupid question. Target 1 grinned at me maliciously. It didn't know who I was, what I was. It might not even know who Art was, but it knew I cared, and it was going to enjoy what it said next.
"We deleted it, of course."
I felt my face change. The muscles were all stiff, and not from the hit I'd taken. I'm still not great at controlling my expressions, and I had no idea what I looked like. Behind her hands, Amina whispered, "Oh, shit.
Oh, this one looks angry," Target 1 said.
Target 2 said,
"How boring. Angry, then afraid, then dead. Boring, boring, boring."
Target 1 began,
"You belong to us now, all of you. This is what's going to happen. You will tell us..."
I grabbed Target 1's face. Not my best strategic attack, but the quickest way to shut it up. Using its face as a handle, I slung it sideways into the couch, built against the bulkhead. Target Drone 1 came at my head. It was fast, but I was ready this time. I ducked sideways, and as it stopped and reversed to come back at me, I put my fist through it. I slammed it against the side of the hatch to break the remnants off my hand as I turned. Target 2 actually looked at the other two target drones at this point, obviously wondering why they hadn't responded. The good thing about being a construct is that I can have a dramatic emotional breakdown while still running my background search to find the drone key commands. I'd had a hit and a responding ping from the target drones right when Target 1 had called me boring. Irony is great. I sent the order to power down, and they dropped to the deck with two loud thunks. Target 2's gray face went surprised, then furious. It was kind of funny. This was a point where if I was a human, ick, I might have laughed. I decided to go with my first inclination and kill the shit out of some ass-faced hostiles instead. I told the targets, "Angry, then afraid, then dead. Is that the right order?" Casualty 1 whispered,
"Oh, deity, that's a..."
Target 1, flailing on the couch, reached for something that was clearly a weapon, clipped to the suit plate on its thigh. I lunged forward and had its wrist before it could close around the weapon. This turned out to be a trick, because it slapped its free hand on my shoulder and I felt a stab of pain from an energy weapon. Target 1 grinned at me with its whole face. Projectiles hurt, but energy weapons just piss me off. I crushed the wrist I was holding and twisted, caught the arm with the energy weapon and snapped it. The arm. The weapon, a clunky tube-shaped device about 10 centimeters long, clattered to the deck. Target 1 shrieked in a combination of rage and disbelief that did not make me any less mad. Target 2, with what I have to say was an entirely misplaced confidence, stepped in and shoved another energy weapon at my chest. I was moving so fast that later I had to run my video back to analyze my performance. I shoved Target 1 away and smashed an elbow into Target 2's face. I tore the energy weapon out of Target 2's hand along with a few fingers, stabbed the weapon into its chest. It didn't have a sharp end, but I made do, and ripped a large hole. Then I used the weapon and the large hole to lift Target 2 up and slam it into the upper bulkhead. 3 times. Fluid and pieces went everywhere. That was satisfying. I think I'll do it again. But I'd taken too long, and it gave Target 1 time to scramble up and bolt for the hatch. I started to follow, but then registered that Amina was bellowing,
"Sec unit, look!"
at me. I looked. On the deck, the two remaining target drones were flashing awkwardly placed lights. They were powering up. I sent a power down order, but the key wasn't working anymore. I stomped the first one with a boot, and then caught the second as it lifted off. I smashed it on a chair, accidentally taking out a display surface in the process. The two casualties were yelling agitatedly at Amina, and I had to run back my audio to understand. Casualty one grabbed Amina's arm and said,
"You have to come with us. We have to get away. Try to hide."
This close. Though Art's primary feed still wasn't working, I could pick up some info from her interface. Feed name, Elytra. Gender, female, and an employee ID from a corporation called Barish Estranza. Casualty 2, feed name, Ross, gender, male, and another Barish Estranza employee ID.
"Quick, before they send more drones,"
he threw a look at me. I knew that look.
"With your sec unit, we have a chance."
Amina turned to me.
"We should go with them."
I'd already sent a restart command to my dormant drones. Target one wasn't hard for them to track since it was wounded, leaking fluid and shrieking. You know, if you don't want to be manually eviscerated with your own energy weapon, then maybe you shouldn't go around killing research transports and antagonizing rogue sec units. I told Amina, "I have something I need to finish off."
"There are too many drones,"
Elytra insisted. Her gaze went from Amina to me and back again. She wasn't sure who she had to convince.
"You have to come with us."
Amina took a step toward me, wincing as she put weight on her damaged leg.
"Are they right? Can you tell if the drones are coming for us?"
Target one ran through the hatch into the crew meeting area below the bridge. The crew meeting area where I'd spent most of my time with Art, where we watched World Hoppers. My drones caught video of another hostile already in there, designated Target 3, standing on the steps that led up to the control deck. The hatch into the meeting area started to slide down. Eight of my drones reached the hatch in time to dart under just before it closed. The humans weren't wrong about the target drones, which weren't responding to my key commands anymore, which meant there was a highly motivated controlling system somewhere that had pushed through a quick security update. I still had access to the target's feed, and from the encrypted traffic, somebody was telling the target drones to do something, which most likely involved converging on our position to kill us. I said, "Probably." Amina waved her hands impatiently.
"Then let's go!"
I tried cutting off the target drone's control feed. It confused some, but others still seemed to be receiving orders. There were obviously parts of this system I couldn't access. Working within it was like trying to operate a projectile weapon when someone had shot half my fingers off. All the data needed to be converted to other formats. Nothing was right. It was a pain in the ass. To take full control of it, I was going to have to start at the beginning, with penetration testing. Exasperated, Ross said,
"Just give it an order."
Amina snapped,
"It doesn't take orders."
I'd wanted to do this up close and personal, but that wasn't an option. The eight drones now inside the control deck with targets one and three were on standby near the floor in surveillance positions. Target one had collapsed against a padded station chair, panting, both damaged arms hanging uselessly. Target 3 stepped down to an inactive display surface and activated it with a hand gesture. Weird to see a human or whatever these were do it manually. They hadn't set their non-standard encrypted feed to access Art's systems yet. Target 3 said on the all-ship comm,
"Intruders, escapees, slice them open like..."
The translator fizzled on the last few words, so I guess I'd never know what I'd be sliced open like. I cut one drone out of the swarm of eight to observe and gave the others their instructions. With the protective suit and the partial helmets, I needed to aim for the exposed face. Target 3 had time to make a gurgling noise, and Target 1 a gaspy scream. My 7 drone contacts winked out one by one. Drone 8 continued to record, sending me video of the bodies jerking helplessly, then finally dropping in leaking sprawls to the deck.
"But that's a sec unit," Ross protested.
Elytra, her expression increasingly desperate, listened to the calm announcement and its abrupt end.
"We have to go!"
Amina limped forward another step. She grabbed my arm and glared up at me.
"Listen to me!"
I looked down at her and made deliberate eye contact, because she had almost all my attention right now, and the last person, Target, who had done that was still dripping down the bulkhead behind me. She was too self-absorbed or brave or some combination of both to realize what she was doing was not smart. She set her jaw and said,
"We have to go with them. Now!"
I gently peeled her small hand off my jacket and said, "Never touch me again." Amina blinked and pressed her lips together, then turned to Elytra and Ross.
"Let's go."
Elytra stepped toward the hatch.
"This way," Ross said. "Is that thing going to listen?"
I stepped past Elytra and out the hatch in time to catch the Target drone waiting there. I slammed it into the bulkhead and shook the remnants off my hands. Following Art's schematic, I said, "This way." They followed me.